This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Eki Gemble.
Hello, everybody. I hope you all had a great start to the new year. And hello, Leon. Good to see you.
Hello there.
Hi. Actually, I'm not seeing you.
It's remote.
Yeah. It's been a while since we did this remotely. Well,
I feel like the last time was during COVID. We did that remotely.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up.
It really was a while.
Yes. Anyway, today we're doing a full episode of Monticasting. That means we have a cool interview by Toby, which we all know from his Audientia blog about smart segmenting. And we have stuff to talk about. And I guess we start with write that, and the elephant in the room is Mautic 5.2. What a blast, right?
Yeah, in the meantime, it's Mautic 5.2.1 even. A little bug fix release made it on the way. But we're going to talk about the feature release 5.2 because it really had a lot of cool features, in my opinion.
So which is your favorite?
I'm a bit torn, but I think the email drafts feature is super cool, that you now can create drafts and other Mautic users can evaluate, read your drafts and just say apply, and all your proposed changes get applied immediately. That's super cool. But also the campaign action for the optimal hour, where if you have enough interactions of a contact, you can say that a campaign actions should fire an email, for example, at the optimal hour for that contact, is also super handy and a really, really well-rounded feature for Mautic. What about you? What's your favorite feature?
I think I love a hidden feature, and that this, the advanced filters that we now have. So we all know the search bar in all those list views, like contacts and segments and so on. And at the right end of the search bar, there's a little filter icon. If you click on the filter item, you could filter for multiple things. For instance, show only the published ones, so called available for use. And if you have like 500 emails and only deal with 10, but all the rest are legacy emails, you can just get rid of them in the view by filtering for the available ones. That's a game changer, totally. And it's well hidden, and it's different in every list view because different things apply, like categories, but also more specific ones. And a little bit similar in themes. If you're using, if you have your own themes and you don't want to have all the default themes in the way, you can just hide whatever you want to hide and show only those that are really in production for you and your team. I think there's even room for more. Like in our world, we frequently have versions of teams, like themes. Like we have this theme and we send out 10 emails with that, and then we want to change a little bit in the theme. But we cannot just delete the old one because that would break the old emails. So we leave them there. And if we could hide the theme in the interface, if I create new email, I'm only offered the active ones, but the other ones are still there, that would be even better. But anyway, I don't want to complain. I really want to celebrate what a variety of features and so many UI improvements that came with.
Yeah. One big UI improvement that I missed is this, I'd call it skins feature. So that Mautic now brings, I think, 5 different options of like a default coloring. So you now have dark mode, for example, or solarized. That's long time overdue, but now for all the dark mode users out there, we finally have that in Mautic as well.
Marketing automation is so much better now.
Nah.
Okay. No, that's okay. And in the end, when you already said that's a feature release, in fact, this is the last feature release for Mautic 5. That does not mean Mautic 5 is coming to an end. It just means it is now called the long-term support release. It is not going to change. There will be fixes and security fixes. But other than that, people can just now use it and not adjust to changes every second month or so. And we have this new concept of LTS finally in place. So Mautic 5 is going to look like it is today for 1.5 years. So I think end of public support is in the third quarter of next year. Plus, there will be even more extended support, like another up to 2 years of ELTS. So until Q3 in 2028, peace of mind, no adjustment all the time, and also stability, no new bugs introduced or whatever. That is, I think it's a big, big step forward for professional users.
Oh, it is, it is.
Yeah. And speaking of ELTS, Mautic 4, as we all know, is end of public support by end of last year. So the ELTS for Mautic 4 is now actually available for $2,000. You can go to the Mautic.org website and just click your next 12 months of security support. And it's, if you're stuck with Mautic 4 and if you're a professional user and deal with actual customer data, I think that's a no-brainer. You should make sure to be on the secure side and not intentionally leave out the security fixes. Like always, all the links in the show notes.
Yeah. And I say then we can move on to the next part. And I think that's tutorials for now, because our good friend Mathis released two very, very cool, very developer-focused tutorials on his website. The one is how he works with the integration framework in Mautic 5, and it's basically his best practices and experiences written into a well-rounded documentation. It's basically all his thoughts and experiences just nicely structured, and if you out there want to work with the integration framework and need a point to start or need to look up something, I think that's a very good starting point. And also how to add custom email tokens to Mautic. He also wrote a very nice article regarding that topic. So I'd say link to that are in the show notes as well. Go check them out.
Yeah. What I love about this is it's really so helpful for people who are getting started or getting deeper into developing for Mautic. It's exactly this kind of thing that helps you beyond the regular documentation. It's a really hands-on tutorial and to the point, and I love it.
Yeah, another tutorial that aired since the last episode is a DevOps tutorial by Avinash, and it's about having Mautic in an AWS Fargate, so you can say serverless, for example, Docker environment, which is, I'd say, very, not that niche topic anymore, but very complex. And he wrote down his best practices and thoughts. Maybe you've got a few words to that, Eki.
Yeah, well, Avi is a very full stack guy, and including DevOps. So if you are a listener and don't even know what DevOps is, or don't know what Docker really is, or don't have interested in, or if you're not interested into running such stuff, then you can just ignore all that. But if you are, and if you maybe you are living in the Docker world and already using Fargate or always wanted to, etc., and want to apply that to Mautic, then that's here the how-to. And he also has another tutorial on CloudFormation. So for everybody working with Mautic in a cloud and Docker context, that's good stuff here.
Yeah.
And I also want to maybe plug another thing. It's not published yet, but sort of tutorial from our end. We have been digging deep into logging, because Mautic does write those two logs that we all know, the Mautic log and the prod something log. Plus the PHP logging is also there. And what goes where? Why is that so? Do we want debug? How can we control the log levels, etc.? And maybe the log rotation and everything around that is not so well documented so far. And so maybe we can close that gap very soon.
Yes. Pretty excited about that. That what I'm also pretty excited about, I mean, Mautic 5 has been out for quite a while now, but our good friend Kusmani, who's running MTX X10D, has updated all his outstanding plugins to Mautic 5. For example, the unlimited SQL bundle, which lets you have SQL conditions directly in Mautic as segment filters or campaign conditions, campaign actions, his tweak template feature, also the multiple email provider plugin, some very, very helpful and outstanding, well done plugins are now finally available for Mautic 5.
Yeah.
So if you've waited for them, they're now here.
Yeah. Yeah. Stena is doing some of the most important plugins out there. And I think some have been on Mautic 5. The rest he did over Christmas time, I guess. The other thing, what I like is that he's also now adjusting to the ELTS rhythm. Because yep. So far the policy is he had always been supporting the latest and greatest Mautic version. But now, obviously, if I want to run Mautic 4 or Mautic 5 until 2028, that only makes sense if the important plugins are also there. So
true.
He's offering that as well. So props and thumbs up for Kusmani. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. What else is going on? In the Mautic, in the German Mautic community, there's another topic coming up, and that's about what we call NHIs, non-human interaction. And what that is about is this situation where you send out an email, and somebody opens an email and clicks all the 20 links at the same time, including the unsubscribe and the opt-in and the whatever link. And that happens even to many recipients of the email. Obviously, something is going wrong there. And the reason is that there are security gateways, namely Microsoft Defender, ATP, whatever. And the security tools think, looks suspicious, let's better click all the links and make sure it's not malicious. And voila, link is clicked and Mautic reacts in whatever way, maybe a bad way like unsubscribe or maybe just unintended progress of the campaign or the double opt-in accepted or stuff like that. And that's painful. That's not good. And it comes out of blue sky. And so we did analyze that in the community. We also discussed countermeasures like detect and then prevent or change our behavior and then build campaigns differently. And we have some pretty good insights there already. And I think the community will also publish the results and maybe create some code to mitigate the situation a little bit. So there you go. What else? Oh, sorry.
Topic that I think needs some more attention that it currently does, because it's happening more and more, and people are not that aware of it yet.
Yeah, nobody cares until it really hits you.
Yeah, until it gets to an issue point. Yeah.
The other thing that also it was initially triggered, I think, by the German language community was a sort of GDPR proposal. So ideas to make Mautic even better in GDPR and everything around it. And so that now has made it to a official proposal, and Mautic is seeking some funding for it. But the proposal is still in draft mode, and we're still looking for additional ideas, additional comments, and put a link in the show notes where people can go to collaborate on this whole thing. And Ruth will be very happy about any opinion.
I think so too.
Yeah. Are we ready for the interview?
I think so. My list is empty for now. I'd say we waste no more time and jump right in.
So here comes Toby, and we're talking about smart segmenting. Here you go. Okay, today I'm very happy to welcome somebody to the Mauticast. A person that we have mentioned, I don't know, like 10 times over the years because of this fantastic blog in audientia.com. Welcome to the show, Toby Höbe.
Thank you for having me, Ecke. I'm really excited as well to be on your podcast, because as you said, I listened to your podcast, heard you mentioning me, and when you reached out, I was really excited and looking forward to this conversation.
Cool. Okay. So you have a ton of topics in your blog, some technical, some totally non-technical, which I said that before and I say it again, I very much appreciate that mix. Before we go into the blog and the topic of the day and all, please give us a little bit of background about yourself.
Yeah, sure. As you mentioned, I run the blog Idientia. I'm trying to cover both aspects, so technical and marketing aspects. But the technical aspects are a bit of have a heavy weight on that right now. I'm not really from a marketing background and came to marketing by chance, because I started a hobby woodworking blog and tried to build a newsletter. And being a passionate Linux user, I came out using Mautic back in, 2018, 2019, somewhere around that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And I'm covering both technical and marketing aspects of Mautic because I'm documenting my journey around Mautic with Mautic. And in general, I like to think of myself as a check of all trades. So as a generalist, if you want to have it that way. Documenting my steps with that, learning the technical aspects and learning the marketing aspects, resulting in the blog articles.
Yeah, cool. And it's easy to see that you're very, very thorough in doing that and going to the ground of everything, bottom of everything, and then really documenting things. Very cool. Yeah. So is that what you do for a living today, like the woodworking blog or modding services or any other profession of yours?
I'm not from a marketing background. I was in the military for 13 years and currently transitioning out of it after my contract expired. And I'm in an MBA program to learn all the things that you need to run a business, which also helps me with the things I'm writing, the marketing things I'm writing on the Mautic blog.
Okay, cool. So during that MBA, obviously, that's a good chance to do some modding. I sure hope that afterwards, you go all in and be a modding pro, or at least, if nothing else, you stick with the modding community and do what you do now. That would be fantastic. Okay. Shall we take a look at the topic, at the headline that we gave to this interview? I have to give a little disclaimer. There are so many topics in your blog and other places that we had a pretty hard time to pick one and ignore all the rest. So tell us about the one that we did pick.
Yeah, we decided to talk a little bit about segmentation because it is such a huge topic for more or less everyone using Mautic. And so we figured that this could be a nice topic to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. So segmenting, like the thing that we have in Mautic, is a technical thing. Of course, it is a very typical thing that everybody in marketing does. What do you think? What is the reasoning behind that? Why not just focus on individuals, etc.?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that you do segmenting because every product has a market. So as a really simple example, Mautic itself has the people who use or work with Mautic. This sounds simple enough, but if you think about it a little longer, you will notice that it's not just as easy as that, because it kind of splits up. So you could say the market isn't homogeneous, but it's just a fancy word for saying your target customers aren't all the same. Mm. You have several sub-markets, like the developers, the actual marketers or marketeers who build and run the campaigns, the Mautic admins, who kind of do all the backend work, keep the Mautic instances up and running and all the stuff. And everyone has different needs and goals. And this is what you could say is segmenting for, to both put all these peoples into a kind of a marketing box and divide your market into chunks of customers that you can target.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in terms of AI, some people say, we have personalized communication to everybody, but the easiest thing is to say, okay, I have three target audiences and have communication that goes to, or that is perfect for this box and communication that is perfect for that box. Okay, now, so doing that all nice, or the goal is totally clear, but how can you do that? What criteria do people use for segmenting?
Yeah, you gave a very good segue with the AI example, because AI can totally target more or less everyone, probably in the future will target everyone highly on a highly individual basis. But you need to create those marketing boxes, those segments first, because without any input, the AI won't know what to write, what needs to target, or what goals to address. And this leads to your question on how to use it, how to build those segments. And the traditional approach is use socio-demographic characteristics like the income a person has, or the age, the gender, or where do people live, something like that. Mm-hmm. And these create like the big buckets where you can put people for your marketing.
Yeah.
So maybe as an example, take someone or a business that sells clothes, and you could target based on, is someone a man versus is this a woman? You can target based on age groups. Are those teens or young adults, people in their 40s, or maybe retired people? Everyone picks, wears different clothes. And then you can add in the income. Is this a person with a high income versus a low income? What kind of clothes do they buy? And then you can target the images in your newsletters or your advertising and stuff like that based on those socio-demographic characteristics.
Of course, only if you have this data, because I hardly ever tell people my meager income or even my age. And then sometimes I lie even. Yeah. So what else would we do?
Yeah, that's kind of, again, the perfect segue to that, why I feel that this kind of traditional / classic approach that you can read on everywhere if you Google segmentation or segmenting or something like that, because all of this comes up. Yeah, segment by the income or the age and stuff like that. But this is data that is hard to get. People might lie about it. They have a huge sense of their data privacy, which is understandable. And from my point of view, you don't need this data, because it puts too much things on data and data points that are not really relevant for writing your copy or picking your imagery for your newsletter. I mean, think about it. Do you identify yourself in socio-demographic terms? Or let's put it that way. Do we think that someone identifies as, I am a woman, 30 years old, with an average income?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's, if we have something better than that, okay. But it's much better, or it's a better guess than one size fits all, I would think.
Yeah, that's true. But I'd say if you kind of can dig a little deeper, ask people questions, and get a sense of them, then you can talk to maybe the same person, but like I said, target how they see themselves really, and target maybe someone who identified themselves as a successful sales representative, who maybe lives frugal, but takes pride in buying clothes that looks nice while being cheap.
But I can't really envision that. I mean, you say instead of having a form and asking for age and income, you would rather have a form and ask for other things, or have some whatever, a chatbot or some buttons to click on, or how would you ask those questions? How would you even know what questions to ask?
Yeah, I would use it or build it using forms, because this is the most reliant way of doing it. And I will ask people more or less questions that tell me how they identify themselves. I know that this right now sounds a bit of abstract, but I hope and I kind of promise that it gets clearer in the next minutes. You said earlier that you're reluctant to provide other people your data points, like your income or the age or something like that. Mm-hmm. Taking me as an example, I said at the beginning of our conversation that I like to think of myself as some kind of jack of all trades, like a generalist. And I'm really open to telling other people that. And this is kind of one identity that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And this is highly connected to buying books or subscribing to newsletters, because they come with information and I just like to read things, absorb things, and gaining the knowledge in a very wide spectrum. And if you would target me with my socio-demographic characteristics, I probably wouldn't respond. But if you would target me with this identity, this check of all trades identity or generalist identity, and offer me a book with some insight or knowledge that I don't have, it's very likely that I would buy this book, which is, as a side note, why I'm subscribed to, I don't know, like 70 or 80 newsletters. And I mean, we all know I can't read everything, but I like that the information, and I skim the inbox regularly, and it already happened that I bought from a newsletter or a creator that I haven't read emails in a long time, but one email pops up. It offers some kind of information that I'm curious about, and boom, they've got a sale.
There you go.
Because they just
works.
yeah, because they just kind of spoke to my identity as being a generalist and liking to know things without them being knowing.
Oh, sorry, but still, in a form, when you say you would create a form.
Yeah.
How do you know what questions you ask? Would you actually ask, do you consider yourself a specialist or a generalist, or do you? Which of these food preferences apply to you best? Or, I mean, where do you start? Where do you end?
Yeah, kind of that. I mean, you need to narrow it down for your specific niche or market, and you have to create your ideal customer identities. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can compare it to customer or buyer personas, which is a concept that is around for a while. Mm. But this targets more like the identities I've talked about. And you might start with asking three main questions, like how do identify your customers themselves? What are their common obstacles and where are they stuck? Mm. Let's take the first question as an example. How do identify themselves? So the first thing you would need to do is to come up or identify the name that they speak with themselves, kind of. Like me saying about myself, I'm a jack of all trades. Mm. Or as an example, a woman who's pregnant identifies themselves or herself as a mother-to-be. Yeah. And this is just the identity word that you would use. Then for the common obstacle is kind of what are their goals. But the obstacle is more now focused, because a goal might be far away, mm-hmm. but the obstacle you're actually facing is the thing right in front of you. And for that, you see, or might already see, that the demographics are not really that important. Let's take the pregnant woman. It's not really important how much she earns or what age she is, but you probably can guess and will find out that she wants to eat a healthy diet to support her child that is growing inside her. Mm. And the last data point that you would need is, where are they stuck? Like, I'm having problems generating or creating a meal prep plan, or buying healthy groceries and stuff like that.
Okay, let me try to digest that. The identity, I get that. That's all like persona or situation he or she is in, or target audience, basically all related to that. Now that person has a goal which you kind of rather prefer to view from the other angle, like what is his or her challenge or problem that they are facing, and or the overall thing that they're trying to solve, and mm-hmm. where are they stuck? That's more specific in their more detailed journey, what steps have they? Well, no, it's not necessarily sequentially, but there's a certain thing, or maybe two, in their mind that they struggle with at this point. Okay, that's pretty interesting. That's similar to what we also do, but different. So I would say let's go ahead here. So you have these things that you want to find out, and you do that by asking questions and let them tell us rather than we guess, right?
Right. Maybe to make it more clearer, the distinction with the common problem and where are they stuck, and why I'd like to think about the problem and not the goal is made clearer by a short example. So, take me as an example. I might tell you my marketing goal for Audientia is reaching this amount of revenue with the newsletter. Yeah. So if you just say you this goal, which I might have, you might pitch me to optimize the funnel, the call to actions, or do some A-B tests. Mm-hmm. But my actual problem is that I'm more or less stuck writing consistently a newsletter every other week.
Yeah.
And the specific point where I'm stuck is coming up with a good content calendar. So maybe this example made it clearer. For me, I always tend to think that just stating a goal is kind of fussy. And talking about the actual problem is more focused on the now.
Mm. And that basically implies the underlying goal. Okay. Now that you have this structure for things to ask, and you say, okay, your form is the best thing we can do, how do you motivate people to tell you about all that? I mean, we are envisioning a situation where somebody has an actual need and is considering being your client or whatever, but still people are always reluctant to out of the blue, answer 20 questions. So what's your best strategy for that?
By trying to nudge the contacts / customers to answer just one question. This is a process that needs some time, obviously. But like you said, if you put out a survey with like 20 questions, your rate of people who respond to this will be very low. So it's just a one question at a time approach.
Mm. Okay. And it obviously can also be done with anonymous visitors.
Yep.
To start using modic terms here. And that immediately helps you. Okay, and then add another one and add another one over time, right?
Yeah. And what you basically would do within Mautic as a high-level approach is create custom contact fields for the identity, the main problem, and where are the people stuck, for example. Mm-hmm. And it can be this kind of free text field or the select field where you have the standard values preset that people can choose from or that you can map the answers to.
Yeah.
Then you send people to a form from your emails or the content on your website, let people answer this one question. Like, for example, what applies to you the most or what describes you best? And in a Mautic context, like I am a Mautic marketeer, a Mautic admin, or a Mautic marketing agency owner for the identity.
Yeah.
Then you could ask a question for the problem they have, like if there is one thing I could magically solve for you in an instant, what would it be?
Oh, okay. I get the concept. Okay.
And then like create funnels that sells, increase email sending speeds, maybe fix deliverability issues, help me write copy that converts and stuff like that in a multi-context.
Oh, cool. Okay. Now we're talking. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. The other thing that people use for segmenting is obviously behavior. I mean, part of what we already discussed is also behavior, but all the trackings that we can do, in your experience, does it make sense or is it hard to work with behavior for things like this?
So you mean gathering the data by tracking links in your emails?
Yeah, all that. Pages visited, UTM used for the first page visit, all that stuff. So all the signals that tell us a little bit about the intention of the user.
Yeah, you could certainly do it. But it would have to be with much thought put into it in advance. So what I mean by that is that you would have to think hard about your pages and the content on them and what identity with what problem you're speaking to. Otherwise, you have some kind of mix and match data, and maybe it would be best if you'd think of it first and then create specific how-to pages, for example, in a content marketing strategy for one identity with one problem. And if they click on that link, you have the data point and can be certain, okay, it is this person that I'm actually wanted to target.
That's really interesting because you're totally viewing this from a content marketing perspective with intentionally created content, as opposed to we have a large website already and I observe what people do there and try to understand their intention from that. And definitely both cases exist. Mm-hmm. We've been discussing one thing a lot, but really rarely use it extensively, and that's scoring. So like point groups, like whenever I click in product area A, I gain points there, and whenever I click in product area B, then I gain a point there, and from that I try to understand which is the focus of the person's interest. And it sounds reasonable, but it's not as easy, and we never created a fully working setup that addresses all the nice things that we considered. So that's why I'm asking, is that something that you solved already, or is it as fragile as you just said?
Yeah, I would say the latter. I also think that this is kind of fragile. What I found to be useful using the point system is kind of tracking within Mautic your customer lifetime value, because you can send the data to Mautic and add points if a customer buys from you. But building a scoring mechanism from behavioral data, like you just mentioned, is tricky, I'd say.
Maybe we should really, I mean, you or I or together, whatever, we should try and really solve this, and then that would be a great talk for the next Mordicon.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Now we have all this data. What do we do with it? How can we come from data to segments?
Yes. Obviously, you can, if you have the data in your custom fields, you can create filtered segments within Mautic and say, like, if the contact has identity A with problem B, then they become a member of segment X, Y, and Z. Mm. And then you could use it for an email blast or broadcast.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like what can we use it for? Like those targeted emails? I get that. Maybe we stick with that. Do you have any targeting within emails? Are you using dynamic content or other things? Or would you just say I have a separate email for each segment, for each target audience?
It is more like the dynamic content you said. And this is what I would say is the true power of this approach of storing all the data within Mautic, because you can create highly segmented or targeted emails within your copy. Mm. Maybe it's easiest to talk about a little example that I created and say that you are a dietitian and help people create a healthy eating diet. Mm. You have created two identities. The first identity is an athlete, and the second identity is a mother-to-be. For the athlete, you have identified one goal and one obstacle, the goal being support muscle gain with your diet, and the obstacle is create an easy-to-follow multi-week meal prep plan. Mm-hmm. The mother has the goal to provide your unborn child with all the nutrients it needs, and the obstacle is buy food that healthily nourishes the child. Mm-hmm. So in the traditional approach, you have a segment or just one broadcast and write something like dear contact field first name, and then you know your diet can support or torpedo your goals, blah, blah, blah. With the approach that we've been talking about, you could write an email like this, and I'm read a small example copy that I've prepared for our interview. Mm-hmm. And it would go like this. Dear contact field first name, as a contact field identity, you know how important it is to contact field goals. But let's face it, create a bespoke diet can be confusing. This is why I created my nutrition program. And during its 3 calls, we'll work on how to contact field obstacle. At the end, you'll have a custom made healthy diet plan. And if you put in the data when sending out the email, it might transform to this. Dear Ecke, as an athlete, you know how important it is to support muscle gain with your diet. But let's face it, created a bespoke diet can be confusing. This is why I created my nutrition program. During its 3 calls, we'll work on how to create an easy to follow multi-week meal prep plan. At the end, you'll have a custom made and healthy diet plan.
Wow, that's ambitious to do everything through custom fields, really. Not even dynamic content, but just put the... No, I don't get it, really. Was it all custom fields, really? Or?
Yeah, it's 3 custom fields in it. The identity, the goal, and the obstacle that I mentioned beforehand.
The rest was the same for everybody.
Yes, it's a bit hard to follow on just a podcast. Yeah, I have to admit that. Yeah. But maybe we can put it either in the notes to read it up on, or I can put out a blog article, a blog post about that afterwards. So you can read the text and see what I'm doing there.
Yeah. But you know what? We do both. We put the thing in the show note and the link to your blog post as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
And this makes it way more targeted, the copy, because you can talk to in one text to different people by more or less switching out some words using the contact fields. Mm-hmm. And if you kind of understood the concept behind it, it really gets easy to do it, because you just write the sentences in a way that you can put in those variables, and they make sense for every identity with their goal or obstacle and stuff like this.
Funny. And of course, you can do the very same thing in focus items and so on in other places.
And you can make it really sophisticated if you add in the Twig plugin and replace whole kind of paragraphs, or do this with dynamic content.
Okay, yeah, true. So it can get even more powerful than you just had in your simple example.
Yeah, because you go from a generic text that fits or targets either the whole audience or a segment of it, and breaking it down and targeting more narrow subparts of that.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, I think I got it. I have a different question for you. This segmenting, Mautic has had that forever, but in the recent years and month, it comes up frequently again in conjunction with AI, but also with CDPs, with customer data platforms, which also say, okay, we are the ones who do the segmenting, and we can do best because we have all the data from multiple sources, not just from a single one as we have in Mautic, unless we get things through integrations. So multiple components say we do the segmenting. Where do you see Mautic in the future? How does it fit into that? Will it be reduced or more integrated, or will it be a more prominent role? But will it replace the CDP? How do you see all that?
Yeah, it's kind of a tough question. I'd say Mautic won't, maybe can't replace a CDP, because they have very different, let's say, unique selling propositions. But the capabilities that Mautic comes with are great for, solopreneurs, freelancers who do email marketing, maybe small and medium businesses, and customer data platforms are for bigger corporations because it's more of a setup or harder to set up. And in general, I'm a person who likes a single source of truth. So if you do segmenting, you should do it in one place. So either in Mautic itself, or maybe in the CDP, which would require that you send Mautic's data to the CDP, but I don't think that you should mix and match it. And why I said that I don't think that Mautic will become some sort of CDP is because I think that Mautic already does so many things with regards to marketing, sending out emails, managing your focus items, gated videos and stuff like this. And if you add in some sort of CDP functionality, it would be a overkill, and I don't think it would be manageable in the development side of it.
I've heard people talking about CDP becoming less relevant in the future because it's kind of artificial even, but I don't have an opinion there. If we look at a Mautic that integrates with a CDP system, it's basically always the same thing. We have to send the data over and we receive some things back. For instance, we get the segments, or we get we get the contacts applied to segments, or we get some action. We have some situations where in our world where the CDP or an external thing, whatever it is, just tells Mautic to send a certain email to send a certain recipient, and we don't do segments at all. When we talk about all that, that maybe from a Mautic perspective, it would be best if we said, okay, we send the data over, we get the segments back, and we start from there. Everything else is what Mautic is really best at. But on the other hand, maybe we need to talk to more people and gain more experience there. I totally think that external segmentation will happen or will be more present. And maybe we should really prepare for a general framework with this bidirectional integration and figure out what's best for Mautic, where we can shine. Well, wow. Yet another thing that we take the homework from this conversation and say, okay, we should look deeper into this one. Any opinion on that?
Yeah, that I generally agree with you that segmentation might get kind of outsourced out from Mautic with all the decision making and AI stuff. But I still feel that you should send the result back to Mautic, like the segment for a contact that the system, whichever it will be, has decided that the contact will be in. And then you do the Mautic stuff, like putting them into the segment, sending the email and all the stuff. I don't think that I personally would use this external system to tell Mautic, okay, send this email and then we're done, because it would be confusing, because you don't know just by looking at Mautic, why did we send this email? And what would happen if someone clicks a link in it or responds to it, or all this behavioral data that Mautic tracks. I think it would be a bit confusing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I'm sure it will be all sorts of solutions going forward. At least for now, we see Mautic doing it all, for even for really large organizations and then large amounts of data. And some try to integrate AI directly in Moadic and all that. So we'll see where that goes. But over time, I mean, from the Moadic project perspective, we will want to find our best setups and support those with generic solutions. Well, it's going to be fascinating, I'm sure. Okay.
Yeah, which is the great thing about open source, because you can implement the solution that you need, that you want, and other people might think differently than me and would want to just send the system a command to Mautic, send this email, and not the segment and work from within Mautic. And this is why I love open source.
Yeah, especially when we have a chance to compare what works best and learn from it and turn it into a thing that's available to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Okay, so that was quite a journey by itself today. Thanks for all these insights. Let's get back to your blog, and maybe you want to tell people a little bit more about it, and especially why they should sign up and even pay some money for it, because I think you definitely deserve it.
Thank you for the hidden compliment, Ecke. Why should people sign up? Because they get a deep dive on some topics, and they do get it one without or for free, because some people are just behind a sign-up wall, if you want to call it that way. And for really sophisticated pieces that will help you a lot or help you a ton of time, because you can just put something or take something that works and implement it in your Mautic instance, then they're behind the paywall. And I guess by paying a little bit of money for saving a ton of time is worth it.
Yeah. And I would like to add, I mean, I've been paying subscriber for a long time now, I think from very early up. And one reason for me is that I am very grateful for the work that you put into it all and making so many things and really, really thorough things open and free for everybody. And I think being grateful for that is one thing, but giving such a small amount of money back is totally the right sign of appreciation. So thank you once again for doing all that, and please keep doing it, whatever happens after your MBA. So I very much hope you'll be around with the Moadic community for the next 50 years or so.
Absolutely, because as I already said, I really do like playing around with Mautic, so I will continue to write articles about it, putting out blog posts and sharing the knowledge that I gain using it.
Cool. Okay. Thank you so much for your time today, and see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye, Toby.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Yeah, man, what a nice interview by Toby. I've read so much from him now, and now I've heard a bit more. I'm quite curious to see how fast we actually can advance using AI, and how fast we are with supporting our structures, technical structures in Moadic to be faster with AI, and to what an extent we actually do want to have that.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's kind of accidentally we switched from segmenting strategies to AI-based segmenting. Yeah. And I think it's important to follow both tracks in parallel and to do smart things today and to explore the ways for the future. So, yeah, that's cool. So let's talk about community, Leon.
Yeah, let's talk about community. Just like every start of a year, Roof wrote a review for the last one. So now the year in review for the 2024 year is finally up. It's just all the statistics that are interesting, just like every year review. But thank you so much, Roof, at this point. Because that's a lot of work getting all the numbers together, sorting them and writing them into a nice article.
Totally.
It's a lot of tedious work. I really appreciate that she puts the effort into that.
Okay, some other things going on. We did talk about one vacant seat in the Mordic Council. So the Mordic Council being like the top level committee that steers Mordic toward the future. And the voting actually closes today. We're recording on the 17th. And when you're listening to this, the voting is over. And I hope you can see the new council member. Can't wait.
Yeah, quite excited who will make the race.
Yeah. One thing that came out of the council was the next step towards Mordic certification. We did publish a call for proposals for a certification provider. So we will have certifications for like a certified Mordic developer, certified Mordic integrator, and certified Mordic editor. And of course, those certifications need to be prepared. Like those are the questions need to be maintained. Like, okay, let's bring it to the next Mordic version and need to be implemented. Like, yeah, people around the world can now actually do that online. Yeah. And so we're seeking a provider for all those services. Obviously, certification is a paid thing. And I don't know about the exact timeline, but I put the link to the RFP as well in the show notes. And if you are in the business of certifications, go and take a look. Maybe it's for you.
Yeah, it would be very cool to have that for Mordic as well. I know a couple of other open source projects who already have type of certification, and I think it would bring Mordic to the next level, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a long missed, and it is hard work, and like having somebody professionally doing that is going to be the best way for us to achieve that, and finally to have that so that individuals can get certified and demonstrate their quality. That's a cool thing. Can't wait.
Yeah, very excited about that. Talking about exciting things, last episode was mainly about the Mordicon Europe in Lisbon. And now, as it's been quite a while, there are some, I'd say, aftermaths of the conference, some articles on, for example, Mordic.org about a conference. Also, John Linhart released his point of view on his blog regarding the conference. And I think they're really worth the read. Super cool. Just what happened, how the conference went, what was exciting, how the food was, the pastelinatas, so many good aspects of it. And also the videos of the talks of the conference are finally starting to see the green light on YouTube. So slowly but surely, they will be available online.
Yeah, I mean, they've been ready for quite a while. We were just waiting for the good timing to publish it, and then it's always this news, that news, the videos have to work to wait. I hope they are going to be published either this week or if nothing else next week for sure.
Wait too long anymore, because the next Mordicon isn't that far away, if I heard it correctly.
that is true. So let's let's keep that as a cliffhanger. I just wanted to mention that one of the things that's slowing down the publishing of the YouTube videos is the fact that the Mordic.org relaunch is in its final days. So I've seen it already. And when you said the word excited, but I'm super excited about this. I didn't expect it to
excited.
Be. Yeah, it's I mean, it's so overdue. The old Mordic.org website was like wow, last century.
Ancient.
Yeah. And so the new one is going to be, it's just so helpful to everybody. It's so much better. And the team was really small who is doing that. So thanks to all of you who have been working on Mordic.org relaunch. And
no, I am super excited too.
Have you seen it?
No, if not, maybe you can give me a quick insight.
Maybe.
Under the table.
That's cost of the Red Bull, maybe.
Okay. Let's move on.
Okay, Mordicon, you did tease on that one as well, the Mordicon Global, so the online event, the yearly summertime Mordic conference for 2 days is scheduled for July 9th to 10th this year, again, around the world. The call for speakers, I think it's going to be published one of these days, well, maybe in 2 weeks or so. But you do want to save the date, July 9th to 10th. And you also might want to start thinking about cool things to tell the world about. What are you doing with Mordic in terms of whatever campaigns, case studies, marketing strategies, development, DevOps, maybe the cloud thing, the Fargate that we already talked about. From beginner to expert, from totally marketing to totally technical, everything is there in multiple languages. So yeah, do make up your mind and prepare your two-line abstract for a cool talk at the Mordicon. So, well, that was some fantastic wealth of things in the community part, wasn't it? Did we ever have so much good things? I don't know.
Really? Nice variety, nice amount of topics.
Yeah.
Quite good.
Yeah, but enough for today, I hope. Let's put the lid on this Mordicast. Anything else I forgot?
No, I think we're done.
Okay.
Then. Pretty much.
Thanks everybody for listening and have a fantastic 2025. See you in the Mordic universe.
Bye bye.